This is a presentation of a part of him.com. The comments and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily represent the views of a part of him.com, Death Ray Comics, or for that matter, any real intelligent people.
4CC, which we call Fork, is a comic book review podcast. It contains language that would make anyone's mother ashamed to have borne a child capable of such rhetoric. It is not for younglings. Listener discretion is advised.
Mr. Moore, will you sign my DVD of Watchmen Babies? Which of the babies is your favorite?
The real question is this. Are comic books good or are they not good?
It's a legitimate question. It deserves an answer.
These rotten comic books.
Captain America throws his mighty shield.
What do you think of comic books, Ronald?
They're all right, but they scare me.
Comics upset kids.
The emphasis, of course, was on sex.
What kind of a guy would draw those things?
Aquaman!
The dialogue had double meanings and sex. 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 It was pretty rough if kids had their hands on it.
All right, Ronald, thank you very much.
Welcome back to 4CC. We like to call it Fork. Four kittens creating.
That no, I call foul.
No, I'm spelling kittens with a C.
How do you do that?
Because I'm curious like
no.
A cat.
Doesn't
That's
work.
Why my friends
why,
call me
why
Whiskers.
Why not just cats?
Okay. Cat, four curious cats.
I like
I
to
changed
call it.
Four
Common Core Curriculum Comics.
Whoa, that's Ooh. Like 10cc.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then at that point, we're just giving each other, like, vaccinations. Well, that's what we'll do for another podcast. We'll just, like, we'll be like, what's the deal with vaccinations? I don't know. Let's get them all again.
I call
File it with the new podcast that we're coming
yeah,
out with.
Yeah, we'll put it in the new file.
Four country cowboys. Because hey. That's what they are, right?
Are
there cowboy boots in the first?
There are cowboy boots. That's
like,
true.
It's misleading because first panel there is a horse. Next panel there's some cowboy.
There's
boots.
There's a horse.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
See?
There's a mountie.
Horse.
Oh my
there.
Goodness! I didn't even. Are they performing in Canada?
No,
they're in Boston.
Well, there are.
No, they're not in. That is in Boston. Yeah. You're right.
In the opening one, they're in Boston.
In case
Boston.
You couldn't tell.
Yeah.
By the description and the uniqueness of what's going on, we are clearly reading
Cato the second.
Cato, yeah.
Cato
2, number 1.
No, Roman numeral 2.
It's Cato the second.
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh. Okay.
Because the way that so this is from Now Comics, and so the way... How do you want to handle that trip?
Remember the time that the neighbor started mowing the lawn, right? Like the one time since they moved in that they mowed the lawn.
Trent's got his murder face on.
Yeah. Urge to kill arising. And we're back.
Yeah, so we're talking about Cato the Second this week. But what Now Comics did. So this is from Now Comics, and it's Cato from the Green Hornet. Who I think is maybe in the public domain?
Wait, it's the same guy?
No, it's not in the public domain, and they own the rights for it.
Oh, okay.
Because look on the back, there's an ad for Cato for the Green Hornet.
Green Hornet, yeah.
And they also I want to say it was a 6 mini series that they did with the Green Hornet, kind of bringing him back at that time. And then Dynamite eventually bought it from them.
Oh, okay.
I just thought it was an unrelated Cato. I don't know.
No, this is Cato the Second.
Yeah.
Because what Now Comics did was they kind of like unified the like all of the different Catos throughout history, because there was the old radio Green Hornet
right.
version. And so they're saying that I think he was like the first one.
Like the actual Kato.
This is his son.
Okay. So okay. Kato 2.
Yeah. So Kato the second.
Oh, so right. Kato Roman numeral 2.
Yeah, I think his first name is Hayashi. I
it
don't
is.
Know what yep. the
yeah.
What,
I don't, it started with an H.
Probably, Attack of the Clones.
Probably yeah. the original.
Wait,
like
what?
He's Kato Attack of the Clones.
Oh, because it's the second one.
Yeah.
Probably the original.
Did he kill them all, women and children?
Yeah. Not just the women. I mean, not just the men. But the women and the children.
Well,
too.
But like
that's why he looks so sad all
in
the time.
In Anakin's defense, how could he tell whether they were men or women?
I don't know.
Well, he was going too fast. That's why the police couldn't catch him.
Topical. Great, Trent. Now you've dated the podcast. People will be like, it's right after
his
the-
head is so big. Had, like in the mugshots, like
yeah.
he has like a head like the skull of a cow. Like his eyes are on the side. He could see things from the sides because
his
head's
so just tried spinning, because spinning's a good trick.
Oh, geez.
Until he ran into that tree. Then spinning wasn't
Wait,
a
is
good
that did he really run into a tree?
I don't know if he ran into a tree, but it says that he spun out of control and then into some trees.
And that's how they caught
and
him.
That's how they caught him.
Wow.
Speaking of excitement.
Well, it's because he can react faster than any other human.
well, it's because he's not human.
Because yeah. he was conceived by midichlorians.
Yeah, he was conceived by the Force itself. Right. Not a big deal.
Who's going to bail him out? Not his dad, because he doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Not his mom, because she got
murdered.
Yeah, murdered by sand people.
Maybe Qui-Gon Jinn.
He's dead.
Yeah. The Emperor?
They're all dead.
Yeah,
it
sure.
was a long time ago.
In a place.
So it was Kato. It's Kato the second. I don't think that like the first. I don't think when there originally was a Kato. I bet he didn't even get like another name. I bet Kato
was
his
just
only name, which is you know kind of awful. But anyway, on the cover of this fine comic book, we see Kato doing a karate kick. There's a band in the background, none of whom are wearing entire shirts.
Why would they? It's the 80s, dude.
And they've got cowboy boots and like fiber optic blonde hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
and
is
there's
true.
A sexy expressionless lady in a leather bikini top and halfway unzipped pants.
Who I don't think appears in the rest
I think
of the
that's
comic?
The keyboard player. She's only
maybe?
In like a few different panels. But the other thing is the cover, like I straight up thought it was a ripoff of David Carradine, who was in like a lot of the 70s kung fu movies. Uh-huh. He was like the token white guy in them all and sometimes played an Asian dude in them as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he's playing an Asian dude.
Well, and that's the thing. Like on the cover, it doesn't even look like the same person throughout the panel.
Yeah, oh, see, that's
he looks like a straight up Caucasian dude here on the
well,
cover.
Well, maybe that's not Kato.
Well,
maybe
know.
That's the only way they can sell comics yeah. is to not put Asian people on it.
Maybe that's Didi Corradini or whoever you said.
Because nobody's going to buy a comic book
for
their kid.
That's a joke for all you Utahns.
Who's Didi Corradini?
She was the mayor of Salt Lake. Anyway.
I didn't get the reference. This hey, why it was relevant.
Oh, because you're from Wyoming.
Yeah.
Anyway, page one.
That's one of those places that has like a dog to be their governor.
Yeah. Because it's cute.
Yeah.
And it gets us in the news.
Yeah.
Okay. So we open on the Strugao World Tour.
Strugao!
Like that's just the dude's name. It's Sragow.
I think they were saying Dan being like, we need to name our character. He plays the guitar. What's what's a noise that like a guitar would make when it's really rocking out?
And he's like the Sebastian Bach of the comics.
Yeah.
Sebastian Bach being the lead singer for not Jekyll, but
Bach and the Beethovens.
Shit, I forget what it's called, what band it was.
Hyde.
I forget. Anyway. Yeah.
One of those bands.
I'll look it up.
So, Strugao, who's a rock star with long, frizzy blonde hair and cowboy boots and torn jeans, is rocking out on stage with his band. Uh-oh, a burly man in a skin-tight camo shirt climbs onto the stage. He's going to attack Strugao with
Wait,
some ninja forks.
I'm in the comic?
Does kind of look like Trent. Uh-huh. If Trent shaved his beard.
And
went to concerts.
And left the house.
And lifted a lot, I guess. Anyway.
And got some size from somewhere.
Yeah. Camo shirt is...
And got
Wait, hold on. Size?
Yeah, ninja forks.
Continue. Yeah.
How did he get size through security is what I want.
He's a ninja, dude.
They hide him in his skin-tight
Obviously,
shirt.
He's a white ninja. Yeah.
They didn't have security at this show.
Whatever, there's clearly a security guard.
Thank God for security
yelling,
guards.
Stop right there.
Page two.
And now the rest of the story.
A security guard tries to stop the guy but gets stabbed in the gut. Sir Gao is still playing guitar.
With a ninja fork.
What? No.
How does he get stabbed in the gut?
Oh, yeah. So
I thought you meant he was playing the guitar with the ninja fork.
Oh, that would be awesome.
No. Camo shirt stabs the guard in the gut with his ninja fork. Sir Gao, he just whips around and hurls his guitar at in Camo Man's face and yells, Pizonia! I don't know what that means.
Does anyone know what that means?
I didn't Google that.
It's supposed to be Pizonia.
What? Pizonia.
Yeah, Pizonia. Like Pizonia.
What?
Are you making this?
No,
up?
like Pizonia. Like,
is that a Boston thing?
Maybe.
Anyway,
sounds like an Italian pizza kind of thing.
That's a Pizone.
Yeah. It sounds.
Wait, no, that's
like not,
that's so Pizza Hut's version of a calzone.
Yeah.
It's not even a real thing.
Hold on.
It's a Pizonia. But the great thing about this is.
Well, see, it's an insult because he's holding Ninja Turtle forks.
Well, and in the second panel, it's so great as the guitar is going towards the guy's face.
Eat Pizone, motherfucker.
He's already swinging the microphone in his hand like a baseball bat. He's so fast. He's able to throw a guitar and then grab a baseball bat and swing it towards
him. It's not a baseball bat, it's the mic stand.
Yeah, a mic stand, and swing it like a baseball bat.
Right, so as we've mentioned, he follows up the guitar by smashing up the dude's face with his mic stand. He then tells the audience to, quote, chill, and for them to give a, quote, big hand for concert expletive security. If you want to do something right, you've got to do it yourself. Which, I mean, that's a tautology. The correct quote there would be, if you want something done right, if you want to do something right, like, yeah, of course you're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
If you want to do something, have to do something.
Yeah. Anyway. It's true.
Right, yeah. And hilarious. This is good podcasting.
The cops showed up. That's nice.
No, those are the security guards, aren't they?
But I mean, what an asshole.
No, these ones are cops because they have guns.
Oh.
And, like, badges.
And don't have ninja forks in their stomachs.
Yeah, and he didn't say, you know, give it up to the police who showed up to look at this guy that just died.
Yeah, like, this dude just, like, sacrificed his life trying to protect me, so give him a big hand, guy.
You piece of shit. You can just eat donuts and jerk off in the corner all day.
All that guy was expecting to do when he went to work today was like to grab crowd surfers and like and put them down.
And maybe like go and lick some of the cocaine off of the dressing room when they were gone.
Trent, don't be such a racist. We don't know that just because he's a rock star, he's going to be doing cocaine.
Just
because
he's white.
And because his name is Scrow.
Look, he's doing. A guy like that wouldn't be doing free bass, okay?
We'll see.
Okay, so now we cut to.
But then, you know, he says, let's rock, and he continues the concert.
Let's rock!
Oh, yeah. Sir Gao does.
And then it says Bad Boy at the bottom of that.
I think that's the title.
Maybe.
I think that's the title of this comic.
No, it's because this is one of two.
Yeah.
I think this is the title of this issue is Bad
it's
Boy.
It's Bad
because
Boy.
Because otherwise, I don't know what that's doing there. Okay, so cut to Hayashi Kato. He's meditating. I don't know, like his ninja practice room or something.
It's his
kung fu
room. Where he practices.
His dojo?
He's got a lot of weapons
Wing
on the wall.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a dojo
that
unless.
That blocking
like,
tree thing.
Unless
you know?
People are actually taught there.
Yeah.
So it's just a practice room.
Yeah.
His old timey gymnasium. There's medicine balls on there, and there's like a swimming pool and some springs that he can pull apart to make himself stronger.
There are some swords on the wall.
Oh, he's got swords.
Yeah, that's cool.
So Kato's buddy Paul walks in and asks him to work as a security guard for Sagal. Sagal's in town. And Paul says there are two suspects for who wants to kill Sagal. There's Ned Carthage, the ex-lover of Sir Gao's producer. And second, there are former members of Sir Gao's entourage, current members of the Spitting Cobra Gang. Kato's pretty good-natured about it. He agrees to take the job or whatever. Cut to the airport, Sir Gao and co. arrive to find Kato in his chauffeur uniform, holding a big Sir Gao card.
Sir Gao!
Wow. Surgao says that as a martial artist himself, he's a big fan of Kato and all the movies he used to do in the 70s, which,
this is the exposition where we find out why he's Kato numero dos.
Well, we don't even find that out.
Just that he used to be an actor.
And his credentials, you know, we don't know if he's up to the bodyguard.
That's the thing, because if I'm going to hire a bodyguard, I'm going to get someone who used to be an actor, the other side of the world. I'm going to get Steven Seagal
Totally get Donnie Yen to be my bodyguard.
Yeah. You know who you should get to be your bodyguard? Jason Statham.
Ugh. Yeah, well, he doesn't do martial arts. He does,
he does martial arts.
What he does is he says, you know what I mean, in one syllable. Okay, two syllables.
He's the Green Hornet's bodyguard, basically. Yeah. I mean,
Jason Statham is?
Guard. No, or that's a pretty tough job. Kato. Anyway, Surgao says, got that part. Surgao has his buddy drive the limo so he can chat with Kato. His buddy is not pleased.
That part I thought was really weird. Why put on the chauffeur suit if you're just going to sit in the back?
Well, I mean, like,
is it a misdirect for the would-be assassin?
He was expecting to drive.
Well, plus that's kind of like his crime fighting outfit.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's all. He's only got two outfits, Trent.
His dojo pants.
He's got his dojo pants and he's got his chauffeur pants and jacket and hat. And that's it.
Well, I don't know.
I hope by the end, Segrau's saying, because he's my butler.
It does look pretty good. It looks just like the Rocketeer jacket, but, you know, blue instead of tan.
Like the buttons that go up on both sides.
That's the classic Kato costume.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's on the back right there. I'm looking at
anyway. Yeah, that's the one. They're talking to each other, and Segrau lays out several lines of cocaine on a frisbee, and he asks Kato if he wants some.
Is it really a frisbee?
It's like a plate or something.
It does look like a frisbee.
It's like a plate without raised edges.
That way you can pass it around, you know, in a fun manner.
It's like a big green coaster.
It's because when you're Skrgal and you are super hardcore, you don't do lines, you do a spiral.
New from Whammo.
I've never done cocaine, so I don't know if there's like a word for it. There probably is a word for like a big green coaster that you do cocaine off of. Anyway.
A snuffle-puffagus, I think.
So, yeah.
So you win this round, Trent. Yeah, he does cocaine.
Surgao, he asks Kato if he wants some cocaine. Kato says, I will do them all. And he takes it and he throws the frisbee out of the window. It's like the greatest thing that could ever happen on a car trip. Like, somebody's like, hey, I know you hate pretzels. Do you want some pretzels? So you take the bag of pretzels and you throw it out the window.
I'm stoked for the family that, like, couldn't afford to have the air conditioner on, who's right behind them.
All the coke.
With the windows down, they're both like, I'm sticking to the Naga Heights seats, Dad. And then all of a sudden,
why are my eyes burning?
Mom, I'm really, really excited to get to Grandma's house.
There's something like that. Oh, there was they did that joke on 30 Rock, kids high on cocaine.
I don't remember that one.
Really?
Well, because Jenna Maroney's, like, her backup plan was she had these dolls that she was selling, and then she found out that they were being used to smuggle cocaine across the border. So she had to get another backup plan.
But
it had, like,
that's barely the same at all.
Cut to some kids who were freaking out because, anyway. Surgao flips out because Kato just threw all his cocaine out the window. Surgao tells Rex. I guess his buddy's name is Rex. He tells Rex to stop the car because, quote, the monkey's gonna drive. So, okay.
Oh, because he's Asian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently they stop, like, on the freeway.
Yeah, I don't know. What? Anyway, now it's time for that
ad break. Yeah. Will's gonna come and tell us about the ads.
I don't know anything about this one.
Let's hand
ad
it over
break.
To Trent.
Trent's gonna tell us about the ads.
Trent's the expert
on this
one.
All right, so this would have been in my masturbatory collection.
Are you sure? Because
Here's the thing. So It says, so it says, see Kelly's, you've never seen her before. Three tantalizing issues, each with a pull-out center spread poster. And so you've got a picture of Kelly Bundy, played by Christina Applegate.
Right.
Like squatting in like a tube top and some a skirt. And then over top of her is like blinds, like the shitty blinds that like will cut you, like cut your wrists if you like fall into them.
Like the vinyl blinds.
Yeah. Or like the ones that like little kids would like pretend to like
just like
wrap their necks in and end up getting hung in.
Yeah.
Anyway, it says coming soon, Kelly Bundy miniseries. So apparently there was a three comic for Kelly Bundy, because I do remember they like Married with Children used to be in it, like had comics even with Marvel at one time.
Yeah,
wow.
So anyway, this is from Now Comics, copyright 1992.
But so like they're selling this comic to people who want to watch girls through blinds.
Married with Children is the trademark and copyright 1992 ELP Communications, always reserved.
Oh, speaking of trademark, look, there's a trademark on Kato 2. I'm thinking maybe that's why they did the two, so they could trademark it.
Oh, because Kato. Well, and they also.
We should just start doing that with everything.
They also use his first name quite a bit, too.
We'll start up our own.
To try and show there's a difference, I think.
We'll start up our own comic book company, and we'll make Spider-Man 2 and Superman 2.
Yeah.
And all the twos, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, yeah, like whenever somebody says it in a speech bubble or whatever, they'll have to say Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, trademark. And then you do, like Marvel used to do.
The name all run together.
Yeah, so, whenever it would say, like, Wolverine, they would have a trademark in the panels.
We'll just write the dialogue really cleverly, though, so, like, it blends in normally. It'd be like, where's Spider-Man going to, you know? Like, Spider-Man, are you going to, and then, like, the movies, you know?
Yeah, but
wait, Spider-Man, take R2-D2 too with you.
Only if we don't spell it out.
Is R2-E going with you?
I stopped watching
an episode
of the Clone Wars yesterday because...
Damn it, just because they said R2-E?
Yes.
Damn it, Will, don't hurt, come on.
Just take the 2 off of R2-D2, so he'd just be R2-D. Take R2-D2.
Or just spell it out.
No,
because they definitely have had copyright.
Heresy.
Also, it's the worst.
Which is why I think they may actually spell it out is because of that. The copyright.
Well,
because,
I don't know, WD-40 probably has a copy trademark on
maybe
those letters.
That's just the weight, though, right?
He was the bounty hunter one, right?
There's a formula.
They look like a robot? That was really IG-88.
No, you're thinking of IG-88. Yeah. Oh, you beat me to it. Okay.
Nerds!
Coming back from the ADD break. So they all arrive at the hotel. The president of the record label, Faye Ripien? Her name is Faye. Convinces Kato to stay in the hotel and continue as a bodyguard.
Yeah.
Sir Gao eventually apologizes to Kato, and they go train some martial arts.
I liked how that was like the first thing that he said when he met Kato was like, hey, maybe we could train together.
Well, I mean, like, think about
I watched all your movies and studied your moves.
Who's way into martial arts? That's totally something they would say. Anyway, so, like, I'm wondering, why doesn't Kato just take him to, like, his practice hall or
because
whatever?
That is his temple.
Or, I guess. You know, like, can't they practice martial arts?
He doesn't want to get cocaine all over the furniture.
Yeah, that's true.
Their room? I mean...
Right? Where do they go to practice kung fu?
Well, no, they need, like, stuff. I don't know.
What?
No, they just go to, like, some kung fu gym, I guess.
Oh, well, that makes sense,
to a local dojo.
Yeah.
In Chinatown.
So they're there. Like. They stretch out for quite a while.
The Celestial Geese training hall.
Is that what it says?
Yeah. Well, I assume so.
He says the Celestial
Geese allow me to use their training hall.
Oh, okay.
No, they're the sworn enemies of the Spitting Cobras.
So,
they can't be the sworn
It looks like
enemies.
Kato was doing that coke after all.
They can't be because...
The Celestial Geese told him. But...
You're welcome here anytime.
Anyway, so a bunch of, while they're training, a bunch of Spitting Cobras show up.
Out of nowhere.
They call Sir Gao a, quote... That's not what they call them. They call them a, quote, stinking faggot rock star.
Do they say the word faggot?
It does.
What?
And here I was a page earlier thinking that when he called him a Jap monkey in a suit, that was as racist as it was going to get.
No, now we're getting sex. Well, it's not
homophobic.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm not well versed in hate.
So they. Yeah, let's have a good laugh about that.
From the tolerance state of Wyoming.
Brought to you in part by Matthew Shepard. Oh, geez.
Equality.
Way to bring it down, Trent. Okay.
I was trying to say something good about Wyoming.
Yeah, well.
So
Trent turns it into,
I turned it into the Laramie Project real fast.
So Sergao and Kato.
They might be Cobra, Trent. Look at
See,
this
that's
logo.
What I'm saying.
Straight up.
It's Cobra, like he's wearing a G.I. Joe t-shirt. But then again,
they're all kind of dressed like they're in G.I. Joe.
If the king was the Cobras, you would totally wear a G.I. Joe t-shirt.
Maybe they're like the Dreadnoughts.
What?
Like privateers for the...
Aren't those little things that took C-3PO apart in Cloud City?
No, those were the...
Ugnaughts. Those are Ugnaughts.
Dang it. No, those are the things that that chewed on the power cables while they were down inside the space lock.
No, those are Minots.
Yeah, that was Nub-Nub.
No, Nub-Nub
no, those
was
are,
not a Minot.
No, I think those are the things... I think those are the things... Where you can take the... Where you can take a ship like way up and out of the water so that you can weld on the bottom.
What? I wasn't paying attention to most. I was trying to remember what's the name of the Nub-Nub is the name of the guy that helps him co-pilot the Millennium Falcon, right?
No.
Like, no.
The weird shaped head and he's like
No, Nub-Nub is
he's all buddies
is
with Lando Calrissian. What's that guy's name?
Oh shoot, I remember what his
I'm telling you, it's Nub-Nub.
No, it is not Nub-Nub because Nub-Nub is like making fun of how the Ewoks talk.
Alien.
You guys
who flies
broke up that.
But he almost looks like a Ferengi.
Kind of.
With like the ears at least.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. But he has a weird mustache, though, that always kind of weirded me out.
We lost that momentum on that joke. The answer to the last one was Drydox.
Nyenyub is what his name is.
Is it really?
Yeah, Nyenyub.
That's not a name.
Oh, you can't argue with Wikipedia. Come on.
That's like saying the cat creature's name is Meow Meow.
Yeah, okay.
I told you.
Jeez, where are we at? Okay, the spitting cobras just attacked Sergao.
Luckily, Sergao is on top of things when he throws Kato a staff.
Hoocha, catch!
Hoocha! He catches it without even looking at it.
So
that part's pretty cool.
He and Kato beat them up. I don't understand like why they attacked when Kato was there. Because like, say you had a feud with Axl Rose.
Okay.
And Axl Rose was hanging out with Bruce Lee.
Every rose has its thorn.
And then, so you would, would you just, like, attack Axl Rose while Bruce Lee was around?
No, because Axl Rose would have been, like, 4 when Bruce Lee was alive.
Yeah, and we know who Bruce Lee is.
What?
These guys don't know who Kato is. He's just some guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, Bruce Lee's son.
You have to expect.
Bruce Lee, too.
Yeah. Brandon Lee died when Axl Rose was maybe like 15.
Bruce Lee 3.
There wasn't one.
Whatever, I don't know.
Donnie Yen, I'm telling you. No, like
I'm
for real.
I'm just saying, if there was like just, you know, like a super nice, good-natured kung fu master there, like maybe you just wouldn't want to pick a fight with him.
Yeah, like Mr. Miyagi, no one's going to fight with him.
But it's kind of a toss-up when you're like a street thug and you go into a dojo, like the guys could be just super pussies or they could be really
good.
Yeah,
that's true.
Know.
Yeah, you could be dealing with Kramer.
Yeah, you don't know, like...
And he was only good because he could beat up little kids.
Yeah.
Anyway... so after they beat them all up, there's, one of the spitting cobras is a lady with a .45. She tells Kato to turn around so she can shoot him in the face, apparently. But, Sergao lobs a ninja star at her. Like, just
Soryuken!
The weirdest overhand lob of this ninja star. I don't know, maybe you just can't see him flick his wrist.
It's an ancient technique passed down.
Yeah.
Through many martial arts movies that he watched when he was,
It
hits the lady in the shoulder and she drops the gun.
Not even the shoulder that. Oh, never mind.
Wait, does it stick in her shoulder?
I don't think it sticks in her. Unless she pulls it out real quick.
Yeah, she totally did
pull
it out. And then it was just dripping down her limb. So
usually that's what happens when you pull it out.
It depends on what position you're in. Because if you're upside down...
Yeah, then it can't drip in your face.
She's in the spinning cobra position.
Just give it a couple pumps, they'll season your hand, you'll be done.
They started out Celestial Crane, and then they went to Spinning Cobra.
Time for another ADD break.
Celestial Crane, we gotta figure, like, I hope that's not a thing in Urban Dictionary yet.
We're gonna skip the Twilight Zone and go right to the... Racer, what is that?
This is the official Speed Racer gift set collector's edition. Nice. As far as I can tell, it comes with a handsome 10x13 black vinyl case to put everything in.
Right.
And, including 90 minutes of...
What?
A 90-minute VHS of Speed Racer.
So, you know, like, probably...
Four episodes
of Speed Racer.
What appears to be a Speed Racer bumper sticker that says "Go Speed Racer, Go."
Oh, that's good. That would be good. Cool. Yeah, put that on your Trapper Keeper.
The Adventures of Slimer,
Which has nothing to do with
a comic book.
Yeah,
yeah,
about Slimer.
But I think the comic is a Now thing, right? Like right. Now comics.
I don't know. I think it was some kind of promotion with High C, the fruit juice, because it says something about High C on the cover.
High what? C.
Oh, yeah. the Slimer. So how many?
Not quite Tang, but not as cool as Kool-Aid. High C.
He's got a straw. And so?
So, Will, how many of these units are left in the world?
There are... Well, I don't know how many there originally were, but there are only 150 left.
What?
These are the last 150 units
in the world. So to pay for the advertising, I'm assuming each one must cost around $700?
No, Trent.
What?
They're only $49.95 yeah. plus $5 shipping and handling.
$7 so you get, in Canada.
So you get one Speed Racer VHS, like one Speed Racer book, a Slimer book.
A couple other comics, like three other.
But wait, there's more?
Whatever other shit they have lying around.
There's also a box that just says VHS only on it, but there's no other information. So I don't know.
I don't know, because I guess like,
that's something from Slimer's private library.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Bad news, guys.
Uh-oh.
Offer expired May 31st, 1993. Or while supplies last.
Oh! So
it's possible it's still going on.
Yeah.
I think it's probably whichever comes first.
Well, right.
Okay. All right, getting back into it. So the lady says,
Sir Gao stole
the songs of a couple of the Spitting Cobras that were in the band, and then he kicked them out of the band, I guess. So that's why they're mad and want to kill him.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, Sir Gao slaps the woman and like wants to interrogate her some more. And Kato's just like, no, we're going back to the hotel. And so they go back to the hotel.
And he tells him not to swear while he's at it.
Yeah, while he's at it, he's like, yeah, just don't use any of the words.
Yeah, because that's, that's very dishonorable.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I don't know. Anyway.
I just thought that was an interesting panel. Like, they take an entire panel as they're driving back in this taxi. They're like, hey, don't swear or don't say those words. And he's like, what words? And then he just starts swearing like crazy. And he says all those words.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because this isn't comics code authorized.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a comics code.
But at the same time, it still goes out of its way to be like, drugs are bad, okay?
Well,
swearing's bad,
okay? Well.
Or is it just a way to whitewash this character as such a perfect saint?
I don't think it was
as such
that
a celestial goose.
No,
that he is.
I don't think he was. I think it's just like, I don't know. He's a kung fu master,
yeah.
And so he like takes good care of his body.
What about Drunken Master?
Well, that was different.
Yeah.
How?
It's
Drunken
different.
Master.
First
was...
of all, he was very respectful to his parents all the time.
Hey, we have no interaction with Skrigal's parents here.
And the Drunken Master, he was always being like, oh, I'm not going to do it anymore. But then when they found out that the smuggled goods got traded for that guy's ginseng root, and then they tried to just give this random root to the guy instead, and Jackie Chan's mom was like, you got to drink to save all our lives. And he's like, but I'm not going to drink anymore. And he drank all this. This is completely different. Trent.
It is. Plus, I mean, like, I don't... Trent, it's just kind of racist.
All right.
You win this round,
Will Kent.
Yeah.
that all Asian martial artists drink just because one of their...
Wait, that's also racist to think that none of them drink because this one doesn't.
No. I'm not saying, like, I'm just saying, like, not... To be a kung fu master,
Trent,
you don't have to specialize. You don't have to specialize in drunken mastery.
Nowhere does it say he can't be a drunken master.
Maybe that's his secret, Trent.
So Trent,
he's always drunk.
You're arguing that this would be a more interesting comic if Kato was just totally into cocaine and he did do all the lines.
No, I'm just saying.
You would probably be better at martial arts on cocaine.
Oh, think of all the karate chops you could do real fast. You'd be like, you'd be so fast.
Look, I think that's just the way the character is. I think that, you know, he's probably just a teetotaler
and doesn't do any drugs. So, like, the reason he's not an actor anymore is because he fell into drugs.
He lived the life.
Yeah, really hardcore. He knows he's just one snort away from, like, sucking dick underneath the bridge for some more.
He's not going to chase that dragon.
Yeah, he doesn't want. Yeah, so the dragon he chases now is that of the martial kung fu art.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Man, anyway. We should write this.
Yeah. Hey, Trent, you want to write a kung fu?
Yeah, let's write Kato 3.
All right.
Well, I think Kevin Smith did that.
Oh, well, yeah, he did actually.
Right.
But it's a girl based off
Kato
of
Kato's
daughter.
Yeah, so Kato, I think it's Kato. I think
we'll
she's
just
Kato 3.
Kato N plus 1, okay? We'll cover all of our bases.
Okay.
Kato Infinity Sign.
Yeah. So
he could be in the future.
Yeah, Oh, and he teams up with Cyber Rad.
And he won't have to worry about anybody swearing because they can use future swears.
Yeah, they can use like frock and fluck.
Well, yeah. So that's where we got on this tangent. It's weird because like, what it is weird though because they're using like swear symbols.
Yeah,
so you can't see what swear words they're using.
But in some places, like they do
but
actually
you totally
swear.
Just see, like, This lady with like a spider pasty on, and you're just like,
yeah,
okay, like if I can see that, why can't I see the swear words?
Well, and it's interesting
it's like
too
racist
because
and some like using racial slurs
but
and
the
part
thing
of
is,
it, and then they're
at this time, faggot was not a swear word.
That's true. Yeah. I guess it was 1994.
Like, 92.
Sorry, Sherman just about pushed over like the entire table. That's why everything just shifted.
Like, also, if you look at it, I mean, like, pretty much only the bad guys are using like racial slurs. Only the bad guys are racist.
Well, this entire book is nothing but bad guys and Kato.
Bad guys plus Kato.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kato's the only good guy. Right, yeah.
Because he doesn't drink.
Well, because he's likable. He's just got like a lot of self.
I don't know if he's likable. He's more stoic than anything.
He's just not a completely terrible person.
Well, and he's always telling jokes though.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's got like a very understated humor. I found him very likable.
I did too. He won me over when he said that he would do all the lines and then he chucked them out the window.
Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess we'll break the.
Actually,
we'll break
he, it just, down. He just wanted to practice throwing the frisbee. He really would have liked to have done the cocaine, but he loves Ultimate.
That's it.
He should have seen his team back in college, man. They were the best. They'd get out there on the quad and toss the B around.
Yeah. Well, and I guess we'll break down, you know, what we liked and what we didn't like afterward. We just gotta like power through the rest of this plot.
Because we're to the hookers.
Yeah, and the lawnmower has stopped already,
before
so we're
that,
good.
Before that, Sergao tries to explain that he's not a racist, he's human, and he has human reactions to the things that he sees around him.
Wait, like, is this
which is totally what a racist would say.
What are you talking about? He has a lot of kung fu master friends.
Is he just justifying his racism?
I think
right
that
there?
Dude is trying to justify his racism. Because if you're a racist, you don't see yourself as racist.
Yeah, but did whoever write this like believe that?
I think so. I think it was a complex character trait that Sergao had.
Speaking of complex.
Sergao runs into a couple of busty babes with structurally unsound dresses in the lobby.
That's true.
And he takes them up to his room.
Bow-chicka-bow-wow.
Meanwhile, Kato talks to Faye...
Riddens.
Faye Ripken?
Rippin?
Anyway,
Ripken?
Kato's, he mentions casually that they were attacked by the Cobras.
It happens. It's a thing.
Like, he wonders why they didn't use guns, even though one of them tried to use a gun, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, they didn't use guns like because Sir Cow shot her in the arm with a ninja star.
This entire time, they're just like, oh, we can't cancel this concert because, like, people will riot. But it seems like if you're like, hey, guys, two people died at this last concert.
Yeah, but it's not anyone important, you know what I mean? It was just a security guard. He knew what the risks when he signed right. up.
Anyway, so let's see. Faye says that her ex-boyfriend might try to kill Sir Gao with a bow. Cut to the Panda House, where Sir Gao and the ladies are in the middle of a bacchanalian.
I thought that they were going to hook up Kato and Faye, right?
Well, I mean, it's like only romantic part one. City
yeah, there's two parts.
I don't know.
It's part one of
Will.
Two.
Maybe.
And I don't know, maybe he's just charming. Like, when I was reading this, I think maybe I liked Kato so much because, like, the whole time I was reading it, it was George Takei's voice in my head because he's got such an awesome voice.
It's true.
And, like, the humor totally works in his voice, too.
Wait, what's the heart's name from?
Ricardio.
Ricardio, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, he's Ricardio. Anyway.
But he's also very, very cultured because he uses gigantic words every once in a while.
Yeah, what was that word that he used?
And this is before bigwords.com even existed.
I think it's made up now that I'm looking at it. But, like, there's that. And then like,
no,
he
read
also,
it. Let me see what it says.
I can't remember what page. It's not on this page. It's farther back. But then he's also describing whatever fancy wine she's drinking. And he says it's very viscous.
Like, well, that was a joke.
Yeah.
It was a play on words.
But still.
I don't know how. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, he uses some gigantic word. I'm just like.
Yeah, it was a gigantic word. Well, I don't know. We'll put it on the Tumblr.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're having their bacchanalia. And anyway, they're like, we see a ninja climbing a nearby building.
Uh-oh. Is a member of the Foot Clan.
With those great big suction cups.
Yep.
That's my favorite part.
It's Storm Shadow from the Cobra.
Sir Gao takes one of the babes over to the window and is like, I'm king of all of this. And she gets shot in the boob with an arrow.
Yeah, which, like, I've got some questions about.
But that doesn't get answered because it cuts to after the cops show up. Sir Gao is in deep shit because he forgot to throw the drugs out the window before calling the cops.
Wah, wah.
He should have learned from Kato.
Yep.
About throwing drugs out the
window. Throw it out the window. Don't, you know what? Because here's the thing. No one can prove that those kids in the car got high from your Frisbee full of coke.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
He should have just said that the drugs were tied to the arrow. And that's how they got
And they
there.
Fell into their nose.
Yeah.
They just fell into their nose. And on their gums.
I mean, let's be honest. Like, you're in a hotel with two hookers and a bunch of cocaine.
Hey, we don't know that
they're hookers. They just happened to be there. It's not like his agent called and ordered them.
I don't
and
think
one
they're
of them
paid.
Gets shot by an arrow. Like,
she shouldn't have been a hooker. There's a deep moral allegory that's being told here.
I'm
Will.
Just saying that
if you trade sex for money, you're gonna get shot through the heart, and you're dead,
you guys are
baby.
Sexist
you give love a bad name.
I'm just
assuming that. Okay, Sir Gao, cool it.
The police obviously have no problems with, like, an arrow got shot from a different skyscraper into your skyscraper.
No, he's Sebastian Bach from.
From history?
It's not poison.
I know what he's talking about.
I don't know what he's talking
he's
about.
He's in like every VH1 whatever.
Anyway, so like the cops apparently are still letting him play the concert.
Because that's how it works. When you break the law, like you don't have to pay
up
to, until
like,
after
hey,
the concert.
Go to jail.
Well, they can't cancel the concert because if they do, there will be a riot.
That's like, true. And then that's on the cops.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so Faye actually shoots up Sir Gao so that he can play the concert. Cut to the concert. Zergao,
and when you say shoots up, we mean heroin.
Right.
Yeah.
However, it is the weirdest way anyone has ever shot up ever. It looks like he's getting a vaccination.
Well,
shot.
You don't want to give the kids a how-to.
And look at the vein popping out in his arm. It looks like a tree branch that's Groot is growing out of his arm.
Like, it looks like somebody colored it. Like,
it's so weird.
Like, somehow got their hands on this comic before and
quick
just like
and easy
drew it in. I don't know.
This isn't quick and easy steps to do heroin for kids, Trent.
Yeah. Right, well, it's not. Obviously, because it's the comics code isn't on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he goes back to being a dick to Kato's. He's driving him to the show.
He's like a super dick and like super racist.
Not his fault. It's the drugs, guys. It's the drugs.
Right. So in the concert, Sergao is playing with what appears to be a completely different band.
Oh, yeah. None of these are the same people.
Like, one of them's a woman now.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those bands where, like,
It's like Baby Metal.
Yeah, they pick up the locals.
What? That's not like Baby Metal at all.
That's exactly like Baby Metal.
Yeah, those skeletons.
So, wait, Baby Metal plays with a different band?
Yeah,
everywhere
they go. That's why they're in skeleton masks.
The creepy Skeletors.
I don't know about that.
No, for reals, Will, back me up on this one.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, anyway.
Trent is the expert on Baby Metal.
Sergao flips out when somebody takes his photo, and he storms off stage. And as has been so strongly established in this comic,
the second
that they stop hearing his music, they resort to violence.
I
just as predicted.
How right before this, Faye is telling Kato he's not really a bad guy. Like, he's a really nice guy, and people love
him.
And like, yeah. And then someone takes a picture of him. Somehow he sees this, like, because he's pointing way out in the crowd.
Yeah.
Whoever had
it was
this
a
camera.
Flash. There was a flash went off, and like, that's realistic.
Skid Row. Sebastian Bach was the lead singer for Skid Row.
He does look like Sergao.
No, but seriously, it's totally based off Sebastian Bach. There's no doubt in my mind that this isn't based off Sebastian Bach.
Okay. So anyway, like,
does he know
Sergao had
the mystic arts of the Orient, Trent? Because if so, that clinches it.
Oh, I would think so.
Sergao had to have just made that up because, like, if it was a rule that you can't have cameras, there's no way that dude would have got the cameras past the metal detectors. Which
that was always a thing, though, that there used to be, like, before phones were a thing, when you were going into it, they would pat you down and look for a camera
right,
and make you leave it at the front.
Right, so, like, how did he get it?
Maybe he keistered it in.
Oh, wow. He'd have to condition himself pretty rigorously for that, I'm thinking.
Well, you know, this was the 90s. Know.
Well, what?
He really wanted that picture of Sergao.
Anyway,
it was just for his fanzine that he was going to make.
Yeah.
Not his fault.
He was going to fire up the Ditto machine and crank those out.
He was going to mimeograph the shit out of that picture.
Yeah.
So the crowd is rioting, and Faye is pissed, and she's telling Sergao to get back on stage, and he doesn't want to.
And he's like, I'm Sergao. I can do whatever the expletive I want.
Kato gets Sergao in his kung fu death grip. And says that if he doesn't get back out there, he'll never play again.
It's clearly a reverse come along, but yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely
for
not.
For those who knew my grandpa.
Yeah. So,
anyway,
you know,
and his
some
crazy
people who maybe
grip.
Listen to this podcast.
Sergao goes back on.
Isn't a come along a type of wench?
What?
It also
a
is.
Wench.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a type of hoisting.
Yeah, where you like crank it back. Yeah.
You're thinking of a winch.
Yeah.
Not a winch.
No, a winch.
Yeah, one
a
of those.
Winch.
Winch. Winch. It's a winch. It's like a battery.
No, that was like four pages ago.
Yeah.
And they got shot.
Yeah. Anyway.
With a shuriken.
By an arrow.
Sergao goes back on. We see a ninja magically bolt a compound bow together without tools. And then he looses an arrow at the stage, and it's to be continued.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, for those of you keeping score at home, we have had a lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
We have had some very loud engines going down 400 north.
Yeah,
and
no.
Now we've had a car alarm.
Now a car alarm's going off.
Because, hey, watch out, everybody. A car's being stolen.
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard a car alarm? It's like, oh, I better go out there and see who's stealing that car.
Yeah, and report it.
You're just angry because some idiot has their car alarm going off.
Yeah, because you found out that Tate Thompson had a car alarm put on his truck in high school.
Yeah.
And so every time you walk by, you'd kick his tire so that his battery was always dead when he went to go home.
You're an asshole, Trent.
Tate Thompson's a rich fucker.
Yeah, but I mean, like, everybody had to hear that car alarm, Trent.
No, we couldn't hear it. His battery just went dead.
Well, after his battery went dead,
yeah.
After you heard a whole battery's worth of car alarm.
We didn't hear it. I never heard it.
Because you were leaving school, apparently?
No, it's when you were walking in.
What?
If you got there late, you'd kick
so
it.
So then how didn't you hear it from inside the school?
School was way far off from the parking lot.
And it was probably also a fallout shelter, so, you know.
It's true.
The radiation can't get in. The
sound
can't.
Yeah, the sound
either.
Definitely can't.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge.
We should write into Kato Comics.
Oh, wait, can you?
If we have questions or comics, write to Kato 2, care of Now Comics, 6 Revere Drive, Suite 200, Northbrook, Illinois, 60062.
Okay. I guess it's time to break this down.
Yeah.
Break down the plot. Break it down.
Really?
I
thought that this was actually kind of a well-put-together comic.
I thought it was good in a Eminem meets the Punisher kind of way.
No, it was way better than Eminem
meets the Punisher. Bite your tongue. Nothing has been as good as Eminem and the Punisher. That's been my favorite comic so far.
I'm just saying that like it is like there's just so many things wrong, like that you have to feel that like it's intentionally being just like ridiculous.
I think it was. Yeah. I think it was. I don't know. I liked it. And I think it was because, I don't know, Kato, like, he was, you know, he's all about self-discipline or whatever, and he's kind of funny, and, like, he's forced to work with this, you know, super racist, super just out-of-control rock star or whatever, and he doesn't want to, but, like, he just kind of does it anyway because he's a nice guy.
Yeah, like, I don't think they were like, hey, we'll give you money or anything like that. They're just like, hey.
He totally could be just doing this for free. I don't know. Because he's a superhero secretly?
Maybe.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, his motivation there isn't really, I don't know, like, it does kind of seem like he's just doing the whole thing because he's a nice guy.
Or maybe he's got nothing else to do.
So that part's a little thin. But other than that, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know if they ever actually...
The story was pretty good, I guess, like...
Ask him if he'll do it. Oh, no, never mind. They do ask him if he'll do it. Okay.
Like, Surigao was, like, he was kind of a more complex and, like you could tell where his motivations were coming from better than, like what does it say about Halogen that, like, Surigao is kind of more understandable than the main character of Halogen?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. That's, well, and not only that, but we have context for Skrigal
that we
didn't have with Halogen. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
we know where it is.
We know what's happening.
We know approximately when it is.
I thought that the main character of Halogen was, you know, like a just some, you know, millennial liberal girl making her foray into the professional world.
Maybe she was, or maybe she was a vagina mouth robot. We don't know.
What? No, we do know that those two were separate people. Oh, or what if it was a twist?
Dun, dun, dun!
Oh, a twist!
I don't know. I don't know. So, I guess what I liked about it, I did kind of like how Kato... I did like the humor that he used. It was kind of understated humor throughout the whole thing. And what I didn't like, I don't know. I mean, like, it wasn't that much to not like, I guess, for me.
I don't know. How do I put it? I wish that the cover was a little bit more representative of what's going on in the book.
That's true.
Because you look at the cover and you're like, holy shit, this is like an Alex Ross type book. This is going to be badass.
Who did the cover?
I don't know. Hold on.
Oh, wait. We didn't even read what it says on the cover.
Okay. It says Kato 2, part 1 of 2, martial arts, rock and roll, assassination.
Oh, man. All the things that people have tried to sell comics.
Let's see.
So great. Anyway, I don't know.
It doesn't... Oh, the penciler, Val Mayerick was also the cover artist. So, huh. Okay. I guess he just
weird
decided,
because it is like dynamically opposed as any other.
Like looking at him, you would not think that the same person did the pencils and also did the cover. Just
well, yeah,
look...
because like you would think that he knows like what Kato's face looks like.
Yeah, or that like the rest of these people just aren't in the comic book at all.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah. Unless this is the...
It's like one of those old NES cartridges.
It is a lot like that.
Yeah, where you look at on the outside and you're like, this is the greatest game that has ever been made.
When you compare like the box art to the cartridge art to like the little booklet art. And it's all
all different.
Well, it's... Yeah. Oh, man, like... It, oh, speaking of which, Steve, have you watched the documentary on the Atari game for
E.T. when they dug that up.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
It's on the Netflix. It's worth watching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely one that had very liberal cover art compared to the actual gameplay. Yeah.
Well, some dude tried to, like, as soon as that story came out, because I remember when that story broke, I was, I put it in the paper. But anyway, right after that happened, some dude was like, hey, there are a bunch of Apple Lisa computers buried in Logan. They tried to get a Kickstarter.
Oh, really?
And I think that there was only one backer for that Kickstarter when it bit the dust.
Wow.
It was really big.
It was his mom.
It could have been.
She's like, my boy's going to be a movie star.
Yeah.
He's going to make a documentary, and then he's going to move to Hollywood where all dreams come true, and all Kickstarters will leak you.
Can you blame him for thinking that people who like Apple products, would just throw their money at things that...
things that are outdated and will soon become...
At garbage?
Passé.
I mean, come on. Like... On the outside, it was not that bad of an idea.
I do think that the art style. I mean,
I wasn't a big fan.
Not a huge fan. But it is very typical of the indie style at the time.
Yeah.
And someone trying to make a name for themselves, especially when it comes to. I mean, look at anything else that was being published in 1992. Except for, Tony Harris's stuff. But everything was just, like, huge, busted women who, like, literally have, like, watermelons for tits.
Yeah.
That was the style.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But aside from that, yeah, it's not about... I mean, if you paid 25 cents for this comic, it would definitely be worth your time.
Yeah. I'd say that this one was one that that I kind of liked.
Yeah.
Now on to our rating system.
Yeah. Yay. Going into the rating system, I would give... this is only a one Mephisto comic. I think Mephisto could come in and maybe wipe away some pasties, and it would be a little bit more interesting. You could see some nips. It's not carrying the comics code, so who gives a shit anyway? You know what I mean? If you're gonna be exploitive, let me see it.
Just wait until we read Shadow Ninja or whatever it is. It's got lots of nipples in it.
Samurai?
I think it's something with shadow in the title of it.
Shadow nips.
And it's like got ninjas all over the place.
Shadow areola.
Yeah, something like that.
That's it's where one. Like they're just like a dark brown.
What? Well,
the areola,
I mean,
the nipple.
I mean, well, they are darker than the surrounding skin.
They're like pepperoni slices.
Like the skin is like more darkly pigmented on the nipple.
They're like pepperonis with a little smoky right in the center.
Oh man!
But you would cut a little hole in the pepperoni, and then just whoop, you push the little smoky right through it.
But yeah, coming soon to 4CC Shadow Something featuring nipples.
Yeah, no, really though, I would put this not quite as good as Dinosaurs and Cadillacs. Because I really like that comic. I legit enjoyed that comic book. But this one, I would say it's definitely better than Jack Frost.
Oh, absolutely.
And leaps and bounds ahead of Halo Gen.
I think as long as you know what you're going into, like you're not expecting it to be like you didn't like read this with the intent like thinking that whoever wrote this was like this is going to be like the latest and greatest. It's going to be deep and everything.
I wish
it's not trying to be.
I think the one thing that could really make it better is if they played into that a little bit more. Because I feel like the...
Because that is one great thing about old Kung Fu movies, yep, is they realize that it's kind of goofy, you know?
Totally.
And like it gives a little nod to you every once, yep, in a while, being like, hey, this is silly.
Look, like the cover, obviously the editor read this book and was like, okay, here's how we're going to sell it. and then he writes in there, after it's, you know, all a day away from printing, the synopsis in like 6 words.
Yeah. Hmm.
And then like it just, I wanted to see that played out more. It's like you've read the Jason Aaron's
Ghost Rider,
right?
Yeah.
It's so great because
I'm glad I guessed that right.
It plays into like the old motorcycle exploitation films of the time where at the end of every issue it says next issue, and then it'll give two possible exploitation titles. Which aren't even the titles of the next, but it just like it understands that like Ghost Rider is a silly character.
Yeah, well,
you can have fun with the audience.
And I think
that
they just announced
that Jason Aaron was he's doing a new book.
Weird
for
World.
Marvel. No, he's doing something else. Like it's I'm gonna have to look it up. But I was actually pretty excited. Yeah. Like, oh, Jason Aaron's doing whatever for Marvel.
I think Jason Aaron's maybe like one of the only writers who could pull it off. Where like, yeah, this book is kind of goofy, but like when it gets up to like the climax of the book, you're like, holy shit. This is the most epic thing.
True.
Like it's one of those things. Like if you're watching like a really good kung fu movie, or like Kung Fu Hustle or whatever. Like there's sometimes that point where you're just like you're watching a goofy kung fu movie, but like you are emotionally moved.
Absolutely.
You just buy in at that moment, and you're like, oh man.
Same thing. Yeah. I think that can work for any type of media that knows what it is.
Yeah.
And I think you look at like the Marvel movies, and that's why they're so great, because they understand what they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to this book's credit,
I mean, I don't cry as much as you do during Marvel movies.
Oh gosh. The pages start flipping in that intro, and I just break down. But to this book's credit, for it does a lot in what will be 2 issues,
right?
Which
is
hard to do.
Yeah.
It really is hard to do.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that this is I'm gonna say it's 4 stars.
For no prizes?
Nope. Doesn't even register on the no prize scale because I just thought it was
fun.
It was just an interesting comic.
Okay.
Like it wasn't quite wacky enough to get
Doctor
no
Strange.
Prizes.
Sorry. That's why I was remembering that trying to be so excited about. Yeah, Jason Aaron is doing a Doctor Strange.
Oh
wow.
Yeah. I am 3/4 aroused right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like 11:45.
Yeah, it's like we're almost at midnight, folks. That's my erection when it's straight up and down.
Oh,
Steve was just looking at his watch.
Oh, it's the doomsday.
No, Steve, look down here at this watch.
It's the doomsday clock.
Steve, let's look at the big hand, shall we?
Or our broadcast clock.
No, see, the big hand would be your testicles.
Yeah, because I am because
they're shorter.
On the
shorter.
But the big hand is the long one.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Trent, have you ever seen a clock?
Yeah, the big hand is the second hand.
Look right there.
Trent, there's the big hand and the long hand, and this is why I have a digital watch. Because what the hell? What do you mean by the big hand?
Yeah. Well, I've been going by a DECA system anyway, so the DECA clock.
Trent's been running on metric time.
Okay, so
Will,
I was saying 4 stars.
4 stars, Will. Yeah. What do you rate this out?
I give it 3 Marvel universes will never be the same, because like I said, as long as you know going into it that it's not a great comic, then it's enjoyable. Like, if you read it with the expectation of, like, I'm going to read this, I'm never going to read it or really think about it ever again.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be fun. It's like just watching like a bad kung fu movie, you know? Yeah.
Well, and that's just it. I think so many people go into comic book shops expecting to find Jack Kirby's first appearance of the thing when they're digging through the 25-cent bin.
Yeah.
Like, you, for 25 cents, you cannot find cheaper entertainment than to like find something that's like readable. We always had one customer who would come in, dude never read like serious comics. He would just go in and buy a ton of the cheap ones to put on the back of his toilet, and then he'd throw them away after he got done shitting each time. Like, it was the smartest thing I'd ever heard.
Yeah, why not?
He probably has really bad hemorrhoids at this point now, but but no, I think you're right. That's kind of go into it. Go if people go into it that way, and when you're shopping, like, always buy a comic book when you're in a comic book shop.
Yeah.
If you ever go in a comic book shop and don't buy anything, I hope that you slam your testicles in the door.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, so now you want the store owner to, one, not enjoy their patronage, and two, to have, like, whatever testicle
he's residue. Hoping
and, unless they bought something, he did not enjoy their patronage.
Yeah. No. I'm saying, right, yeah, like, they totally didn't enjoy, the comic shop owner isn't getting their money.
Right.
But you do want them to get their testicles.
Absolutely.
When they fall off inside the store.
No, smashed in the door on the way out.
Yeah I know. So, yes. Like,
Since the door swings out, yeah.
It'll
swing back in and catch it right in the crack.
And then it'll bat the testicles after him,
and then he's just like smack. Yeah. He's like just sitting there smacking, and they're trying to get away, and they're stuck because their testicles are stuck in there. And he's like,
and then Michael Cera's kind of curious about what's going on,
and he's like,
over.
I like what's on you.
Gross.
Oh my god, he just said he loves Obama.
But I do agree with you guys that I think Kato could have been a little more outrageous.
Yeah. I think it's good because we know that there are better Kato comics out there.
Yes.
Like, if this was it, this was the only Kato comic, you might be kind of pissed.
And I think maybe I'm coming from the context of I am reading just so many, like, so I'm the one who's
like,
kind of
not
selecting
halogen,
these.
So I'm liking it.
I read so many comics after halogen trying to find one
something
that
was bad.
Enough,
yeah, that's true.
One that was interesting enough. And this one was like just, I guess, like,
it's a good palate cleanser after reading Halogen, because honestly, folks, it's
I
the worst fucking comic book.
I cared about the characters enough to be like, huh, I hope that in this next issue, like, I was curious to see, maybe we do have the second issue of this.
Maybe Sir Grouse,
you know, whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we have the second issue anywhere, so we're just going to have to write the rest of the plot.
Well, we can look at the
scene
next
one.
Issue page.
Scene one.
Sir Grouse was stabbed in the heart with an arrow.
But then we find out that he had shot it himself. not easily done, folks.
Yeah, but he has to have the coolest guitar solo ever.
It turns out that Sir Gao,
rocking out ain't easy.
That Sir Gao
piss on ya.
I'm telling
you. That's my new catchphrase.
If you Google that trend, you get nothing. Like,
I'm telling you,
you
that's
get a
what
picture
it is,
of like an airplane.
I know, but that's what he was going for was piss on you.
Then why did he say piss on you instead of like all?
Because
one word
maybe standard practices wouldn't.
He's
wouldn't
trying
buy.
To say lasagna. Oh.
He says I love lasagna.
Can I have some lasagna?
It's so
and
cute.
The,
he says
the
he
next
loves
issue.
Obama.
Issue 2, after he gets shot by that arrow, he's just like, I hate Mondays.
He's like, rah, 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 rah.
And then in the shadows, Sir Gao starts fading away, and he almost makes it back to his phone booth time machine.
I think it's probably it's all just a cry for help, because he wants to change, kind of, and he needs a father figure, which is going to be Kato. Because in their phase, like, he's not a bad guy. He just craves authority.
Yeah.
So, you know, he gets someone to shoot him with an arrow.
At the end of the day, folks, this comic book is worth checking out because you get to see a weird ad for Kelly Bundy's comic book.
So weird.
All right.
It just makes you feel dirty.
This has been 4CC. And until next time, keep all your nipples covered with spider pasties.
Ooh. Until next time, let all your battle cries be Pazania!
Until next time, chill, rock and roll is dangerous. Let's give a big bleeping hand to concert security.
Thanks for listening to 4CC. This episode was brought to you by Paul Cox from the Cotton Ponies and Twitter user Fred Tiege. If you want to be like these two amazingly generous listeners, go to apartofhim.com/support. Go there, buy something for yourself, and then let us know. It's pretty simple, and you can get awesome stuff like comics, graphic novels, WWE merch, DC action figures, T-Fury t-shirts, like, the list goes on and on. So, go to our website for the links to Paul Cox's band, The Cotton Ponies, and to Fred Tiege's Twitter page, and tell them thanks for this episode. This episode was painstakingly researched by Steve Kent. If it wasn't for Steve and Will, there would be no 4CC and definitely no Part of Him Network, so thank them whenever you get a chance on Twitter. I'm not going to lie, this has been a weird week. There were some major announcements in the comic book retail industry, and it's kind of got me back on my heels yet again, and I'm having to rethink what it is I'm doing. But the one thing that has remained consistent is the Part of Him Network and the listeners. Like, thank you for listening, because as long as there's an audience, we're always going to be here making fresh, free content. Thanks for all your support, whether it's been through purchases, reviews, sharing with a friend, or just downloading and listening. It's a little teeny piece of stability in my otherwise extremely wobbly life. So, yeah, thank you. All right, that's it.
You've been listening
to another program on the A Part of Him.
A Part of Him.
Podcast. Network.
I bet my Wookiee.
Oh, gee, I don't know, Rick.
The best is the when they're talking about the Starship Cobra spitters, and there's like spider pasties on her nipples.
Yeah, that was
weird.
Yeah,
there's that one.
Right?
Yeah.
Scrawl!